Morning. Okay, you guys really have to wake me up here. I'm on California time. Think about what time I had to get up to catch the shuttle, right? I'm Jacqueline Zimmer, and under declarations of conflict of interest, actually, we are a for-profit company, Network of Care is, and I do work for this company. By way of background, I'm a gerontologist and a human services lobbyist, and I came to this position out of frustration. I think those of you that are in this field know, as he said, when someone finds out you're in a field of human services, they immediately want to know what you know about the resources in their community. And in Oregon, I was lobbying for the legislature, and when 411 information, would get a call from someone in the public saying, I need a phone number for a senior services agency, my mom's had a stroke, they were giving them my phone number. I'm the lobbyist for an aging organization and human services organizations, but really I don't know of all the resources in your community. So I was actively lobbying the Oregon legislature for funding to create an online web portal for information for seniors and people with disabilities, and along the way bumped into this website called Network of Care. And what happened was that I realized that I wasn't dreaming big enough. I was simply just looking for a service directory. And what I found was something that was so comprehensive that I was almost a little embarrassed that I didn't think about all the other resources that people were really going to need. This website has been around for 8 years. The Network of Care has. They were named the model for the nation for a web portal by the President's New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. And I'm just going to walk you through the sites in a few moments, and you'll see how they gained that notoriety. I'm fascinated by what's going on here. I'm sure that every single person in this room has a resource or can provide some great information about what's going on, and I'd love to talk to all of you. But we've expanded a bit on what you've just seen, and I'll show you our mental behavioral health site, and then I also want to show you just a quick tour of our site for veterans and service members, because I don't know about you, but in the United States, if you actually seek mental health help as a member of the armed forces, that goes in your permanent file, and it's not supposed to, but it does, and it keeps you from being promoted. And it's also this whole stigma around looking for mental health information when you're a member of the military and you're supposed to be strong and trained and powerful and mighty. So anyway, we just launched a site for veterans and service members for the Iraq and Afghanistan war, and we're very proud of that. This is a list of our sites that we currently have right now. The seniors and persons with disability site is the oldest one, and again, this is a mental health conference, so I won't go into it in great detail except to tell you that was our first site. We build all of our sites. They're basically, we're almost like a utility. Governments purchase our website for their members of their state or their county, their own staff, and it ends up being all sorts of people who use it, but then they provide it to the public at no charge to use. So that first site that we built was a result of a request to deal with fragmentation in the service delivery system. In California, a number of seniors were dying unnecessarily, and it became evident that people just didn't know where to go for help. So the first site was built with a California grant, and the first site cost $2.5 million to build. And we built replication tools into it so that it would be affordable to smaller communities as well. But there's considerable investment in this site now, but it's worth about $3 million as far as content goes. So at any rate, we have a number of mental and behavioral health sites. Actually, we have almost 500 sites around the country. We're in about 30 states right now. And so I just want to take you on a quick tour. I'm going to show you one of our newest sites, and I'm kind of standing at a funny angle here, so let me just get adjusted. What we know is, and I'm going to repeat a few things, is that, of course, people are going to the Internet to look for help. They're doing so because it's private. They're doing so because they can do it when it's convenient for them. And so we have created these sites with that in mind. We not only have a service directory, as Dr. Chang was mentioning here, as you do here in your community, and we have a health library. And these health libraries focus on diseases and conditions specific to each one of our topics. So people have credible information. There's like 3,500 evidence-based articles in here. This library itself is about 50,000 pages long, and we update it four times a year. There's no commercial activity allowed anywhere on our site, so as much as companies like Eli Lilly and so on and so forth would like to get their hands on our site, there isn't any commercial activity, so that brings incredible credibility to it. We are partnered with a number of groups and organizations, and we talk about how the Internet empowers people and brings health to them. We do have education and recovery tools on here. NAMI, of course, the National Association for the Mentally Ill, is on our site. And we've taken content from them. We partner with them. We provide the platform and the technology for them. And then
welcome to NAMI's presentation of Mental Illness, an Illness Like Any Other, What You Need to Know About Mental Illness.
We just roll through.
Mental illnesses are medical conditions that disrupt a person's thinking, feeling, mood, ability to relate to others, and daily functioning.
You get the idea of what I'm talking about. So we put these mental health tools, the issue of fragmentation goes away, the issue of access goes away, all of the resources that we have all go onto one site and people can look for them at their convenience. So that's a wonderful resource in our library. That's also on our veteran site. We've also hand and culturally translated 10,000 of the library's articles into Spanish. That's really important. We do have language translation features on a lot of our site, but when it comes to mental health, you really need accurate translations, and machine translation just doesn't do the trick sometimes. We've also connected people with their legislature. So in every single state and at the federal level, we provide people with legislative information every single day so that they can find out what's going on in the world of mental and behavioral health, and they can track it. And you can see that in the last 24 hours in the state of Colorado, 9 bills have had activity related to mental and behavioral health, and we're going to let people know what those 9 bills are so that they can take action on them. We also allow them to click to view all of the bills that are in process. And you can see the entire text of a bill. You can email the author of a bill. You can email an entire committee if you want to. This is all updated daily. You can add a bill to your personal folder. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit right here. But once it's in your folder, if there's activity on the bill, you'll get a message from us that says, good morning, wake up. Do you want to take some action? Your bill is moving so that you know as a consumer that something's happening. It really levels the playing field for consumers who want to communicate with legislators about their conditions or their issues. And they want to make sure that funding is available and programs go on and so forth. So that folder actually serves as a tool for notifying people about what's going on. And then we also know in the states, as you do here, that whatever happens here is directly related to the service directory, and how big that is. So it's really important. Some of us are former elected officials in our office. I am one. So is my boss. And we know that oftentimes legislators vote based on the one or two messages they get from their consumers or their clients and their constituents. So we've set it up so that people can do that. We also do the same with the federal bills, so people can track the federal legislation. I think the mental health community is really organized around advocacy, so this is a great tool for them. We provide people with links. There are about 12,000 links in here, and those are local, state, and national, and we divide them up by category so that people can actually access them in a strategic fashion. And it links directly to all sorts of things. And we update, we keep all of these, we maintain all of these. We provide people with information about insurance in their community, not just the low-cost and government programs, but also the for-profit insurance programs. That's also very important when you're trying to advocate and find insurance programs that offer mental health help. We provide people with links to all the support and advocacy groups that are out there, and we allow people to suggest a link to us. And lastly, we provide, and we've done this for years, but now we provide a personal health folder for people to store their personal health information that they can share with people if they want to. They don't have to share all of it. They can share some of it for as long as they want, or none of it, or all of it. And you can just simply grant people access to your folder by clicking this button right here, and it'll tell you, you're going to add a new visitor to your folder. Who do you want to add, and what do you want them to have access to? You can also create an emergency card. We're not in Canada, but you can sure use this if you want. We have a machine outside our office that just sort of whirs all day long. We create emergency cards for anybody that wants one. And we did this as so much of what we do on our site is a result of input from the mental health community. And this particular piece is here because the mental health community has that uncanny knack for coming into contact with law enforcement and people at emergency rooms and so on and so forth. And they may not necessarily be carrying a driver's license or good ID. So we created this card at their request. And you can either print it up or just ask us to send it to you, and we just do that at no charge. So, but it basically protects your dignity. It says, you know, I have a pre-existing condition. I do have drug allergies, and I would like it if you'd call somebody before you just start injecting me with Halidol, if you don't mind. It's pretty much kind of the gig of that whole card there. And then we basically, it's like having a file folder, I mean a file cabinet in your living room here. And in this folder, you can go back to and find things that you located along the way that you thought were important that you want to come back to. So did you see something in the service directory that was good? Instead of going to the, you know, cutting and pasting and whatnot, you can just store it in this folder and always come back to it. You can track things from the health library if you'd like to, that you saw that were interesting to you. So it's completely integrated with the rest of the site. You can find the bills that you were tracking, any links that you were tracking. Thank you. And then you can go a little further and track things like your patient preferences, any self-assessments that you're doing on yourself, any treatment plans you have, family history, health maintenance, you know, what facilities do you go to, so on and so forth. And you can also track any conditions that you have, any allergies that you have. If you tell the site that you're allergic to Vicodin, for example, you have the opportunity to learn more just by clicking this. It'll go back to the library and find the articles that relate to Vicodin. So what's the most important thing you should know? I think this replaces what I call pharmacy origami. You know, when you go to the pharmacy, I don't know if you do this here, but in the States, they give you a consult when you pick up a prescription. They shout out your name, and then you walk to the front, and then they start talking to you, and then you say yes to everything because you want to get out of there as quickly as you can. My physician actually pulls this up and prints this out for people in his office. Because, you know, when you get home, the box has that origami wad of paper in it that's going to talk to you about what prescription you're taking. Oh, good for me, I've left the site. This whole folder, though, is... This whole folder uses the HL7 standards. Is everybody familiar with that? What am I doing here? HL7, anyone? Anyone?
Just type Network of Care.
I will.
Because it's a French keyboard.
I just... Well, that's how I got there last time. There we go. I'll pull up this site and we'll look at it real quick. HL7 is an international standard for personal health records and folders. So because everyone realized that we need interoperability. I mean, everyone is going to be tracking their medical health information online. You want your physician in one community to be able to upload data and use the same fields as a physician in another community or that sort of thing. So we use that standard in our site to bring information to that personal health record folder. So, and that's that personal health record, that's your own. There are no issues with patient confidentiality. You're loading that data yourself, and you're sharing it with people as you wish. You can give your physician access to it, but it's your folder, so it's a personal folder, and we don't have issues of HIPAA. HIPAA here? Do you have HIPAA here? Right. This ties you up in knots so you can't share data. Yeah. Anyway, so this folder kind of gets around that. Just a quick mention on the service directory for the site for veterans and service members. This is that new site, and we're very proud because this person right here does the talking.
Hello and welcome to our network of care. The freedoms that we enjoy today are made possible by the courageous men and women of our armed forces. Together, we must reach out to them as they return home, especially...
Actually, Arnold, I shouldn't leave him with that kind of pose on his face. I'm sorry. But anyway, he saw our site, got it in a minute, and volunteered to do this on our... And it actually is tremendous to have him welcoming people to the site. But all of our sites have kind of that similar approach to them, similar look and feel. Anytime someone calls you as a staff member, you could be using this site. 211 use this site. All sorts of people use this site. But as soon as someone calls you and says, I need help, you can actually email them the entire site. And as he was saying, sometimes they don't need to come into your office. You can email them this, let them get a start pulling information together that appeals to them, and then in the denouement, they may never come into your office, but in the meantime, before they get there, they can be really empowered with all sorts of knowledge. And we put a live demo on our site, so that's a tutorial. You don't have to go out and train people how to use this. Obviously, there's incredibly deep functionality on the site, and there's a lot here, so the live demo is there to help people with that. We have social networking on our sites. We'll be adding it to all of our sites. The first site we added it for was veterans and family members. So that's what we do on our sites is over the 8 years, whenever we do something good on one site, we automatically add it to all of the other sites. So we have created, at the request of the veterans that worked with us on this site, a whole social networking field here, blogs, media, forums, wikis, groups, and little messages right here that run little stick figures that talk and tell you how you actually, what is it, and how do you create a blog, and what do you do with a wiki, so that people can use social networking effectively. We've also set it up so that as you're blogging, and our plenary speaker said this, I think, best this morning, as you're blogging, you're actually, you know, you feel you're sometimes a little more anonymous, and you let your guard down, and you say things that you might not say to someone's face. In our blogging log on here, you actually can click a button and send whatever it is you're communicating about directly to your legislator, so they get an idea of what it is that's going on in your environment. So, and then one last thing I want to show you that's pretty neat. Of course, we have news every day and an archive of news, much like you do here, and community announcements and calendars. We also have a Wellness Recovery Action Plan, and this is an incredible consumer tool. Are you familiar with that, the Wellness Recovery Action Plan? And you, by the way, you can just get on our site by going to Network of Care. There's no login or anything, so you can look at this yourself, and I would encourage you to do that. It's on our mental health and our it's actually on all of our sites in the folder. But it allows you to create a Wellness Recovery Action Plan, a plan or a tool to use if you're going to if you have episodes or issues or you're planning on melting down at any time, you can actually create a plan that says what I'm like when I'm feeling well, what do I need to do to maintain this. Now here are the triggers, what do I do when those happen. Now I'm in full-blown crisis, who do I want around me, who do I want to keep the heck away from me, what facilities will I go to, so on and so forth. You can watch a video on that by Mary Ellen Copeland, so there's another idea, example of us sharing with somebody who has knowledge. We put all of her content on our site. But you can create this plan and it actually share that with others, and they know what to do when you're having an episode or an issue. They know what their role is and when they're to step in and step out. So, pardon me? It's right here on this site, the wrap. When you go to any of our, if you go to our mental health sites, there's a behavioral health site. You can actually see, if you click right here, there's a whole demo about WRAP right there, but we store it in your folder because it's secure and it's personal. And you can all create a folder for yourself. You don't need the site. You can be using this if you'd like to. We have an odd business practice model in our agency, so you could certainly be using any of these tools that you want to right now. But that folder stores the Wellness Recovery Action Plan. I think I was going to show you one other thing on that site. Oh, I know. Again, best practices over time, like the California Institute of Mental Health provided us with hand and cultural translations of the 12 most common diseases and conditions related to mental health. Again, that's terrific to have that hand and cultural translation. And over time, they added speakers, native speakers. And so we just keep adding these things to our site. And one morning you wake up, and now you have this on your site that you didn't have it the day before, and it came to you at no charge. But we were in Ohio recently, and they said, you know, we really like this idea of these 12 most common diseases and conditions being up here, but we need sign language. So we said, oh, if you provide someone who can sign and the culturally translated information, we'll put it up on our site. So we shared in the cost of doing that how this is up here, and this isn't anywhere else. This is a phenomenal tool. So it actually just opens up. information to people in so many different ways.
Affects 3 to 5% of children in America. Children.
And you can also print out all of that information that she's giving you. So I've really given you really the 500,000 foot tour of the site, but that gives you an idea of what we've come up with as tools to empower consumers with knowledge that helps them work through their disease and condition without going all over to do that. And I'll stand for questions if you have any. Yes.
I didn't catch this at the beginning, but how do you update, how is the resource information logged in and how is it updated? Is that people at a local level that are taking charge of that?
It's kind of interesting how that gets done. It depends. For the most part, we work with, you know, this similar response to what he said, we work with whoever in your community has that information and they provide it to us. So if we are contracted with a county, they'll give us whatever information they have, and we'll load it up. We'll clean it, we scrub it, taxonomize it, and put it into the service directory. But this, if this is their listing, they can add or correct it themselves as members of the community. And we can share data back and forth. Because this is a live site, and people talk to us through feedback and the message boards, and then adding and correcting their own information, we'll actually feed it back to you as well, so you can... you'll have your own service directory. But we hear from the public sometimes, as he said, that says, we went to the food bank, no one there speaks German, so we'll check that out and change the service directory for you. So we maintain all the service directories once we build a base for you. And then, you know, 211 is an important partner in a lot of communities, and we share our data with them, or they use our sites. And it just works out differently in every community. But so the service directory is technically yours. You own it.
Once you contract.
Right.
Contract board. Okay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And the message boards are terrific, too, just to let you know. We do monitor those every single day, and we respond to them. So there's a lot of message boards out there where people do not respond. We actually do respond to any inquiry on the message board, and the public chimes in as well, so you get that great peer-to-peer response. Yeah. Other questions? Hey, thank you. You can just go to Network of Care, and I have some brochures up here. You're welcome to take them and look at them and go on the site. And if you have any questions, you can shoot them to us through the message board if you like, or through feedback. We'll be happy to answer them. Thanks for your time.